Be starting this morning. Hello. There you go. Good morning. I'm just wondering if we can spread any possible way further apart. That's I must have heard I was speaking today. That's running. We are Laura. If it doesn't reach you back there, you just go like this, and we'll crank it up a notch. We are studying in the Psalms, and today we're going to be looking at Psalm 98, a song of joy, of thankfulness, of looking at the salvation that the Lord has wrought, not only for the nation of Israel, but for the whole earth, all of the nations, peoples, tribes, kindred, male, female, slave or free. We're going to be looking at Psalm 98, and if you will, bow with me as we pray to start our time together. Father, we do thank you for this time to be gathered together in this place that you have provided. We thank you, Father, so much for how you have guided and directed our steps as a church, that you brought us here, that you provided this place for us to gather together to worship your name, to worship you, Father, for the salvation you have wrought through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Father, that your word is there for us to glean in knowledge of you and your character. We thank you it teaches us of how you have worked in history throughout the world, especially in the nation of Israel, Father, but for all of the nations of the world. We thank you, Father, for the blessings you shower upon us individually. We thank you, Father, that you have called us into your grace, and by your grace and your mercy and your kindness, into a relationship with Jesus, your Son. Father, we thank you that you've sealed us with your Spirit for that day to come, Father, as a surety, as a guarantee, Father, of that day to come when we can stand in your very presence, dressed in a righteousness that is not our own, and, Father, praise and worship you there. And we thank you, Father, for all of these things in Jesus' name, and we pray these things. Amen. Psalm 98. It's a short psalm. I have no idea how far we're going to get in time, but we will get started. I'm going to start with Psalm 98, a psalm. It says, verse 1, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy, and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord, with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." And we've been reading, and actually I started in Psalm 92 and up through approximately Psalm 102. These are psalms of praise to God. And while there's an intermittent psalm here and there, one I believe is 94, talking about the avenging God that the psalmist calls for, and one later, the afflicted psalmist, Most of these psalms in this area are praise psalms to the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who has created the world, made the world, maintains it by the power of his word. And we have seen in previous psalms that there's to be singing. Of course, all of the psalms were meant to be sung by the nation of Israel, to be praising God, but these especially so. In Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2 and verse 4, it says, "It's a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." And we see in those set of verses that there's a call to sing to God and to sing joyfully and thankfully, remembering all that God has done. And that is especially true for the psalmist and for the nation of Israel, but it extends far beyond, because we sing for joy and that we are thankful for the salvation that God has wrought for us. Certainly he saved Israel and has continued to save Israel and bring it back even into its own land. But far beyond that, God has provided a salvation for all men of all nations through Jesus, his Son. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3 says, "O come, let us sing for joy for the Lord, to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a king above all gods." Common theme is that we are to sing joyfully. We are supposed to sing thankfully. Even as we come to worship God and understand and realize what he has done in the past, what he is doing now, and what he is going to do in the future, we are be looking at all of these things and understanding and knowing that he is all-powerful, able to do whatever he desires. He has a will for this world, and it will eventually be accomplished in the reigning rule of Jesus Christ, his Son. We have that to look forward to being in his very presence. We look forward to that, but that joy that we're going to have standing in before God, dressed in Christ's righteousness, is something we need to realize is applied to us right now. We need to be singing joyfully and thankfully because we realize that's an accomplished fact for the believer in Christ. So let us sing for joy. Let us shout joyfully. Let us thank God for all that he has done. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." In Psalm 92, we are to praise God and give thanks because the Lord has made us glad, remembering what he has done. In Psalm 95, he has told us to sing for joy and to shout joyfully because the Lord God is a great God and a great King. Psalm 96 tells us to sing a new song of salvation of the Lord, not only in relation to Israel, but for all the earth. And we're to do that because it says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's an intro to Psalm 98, which starts out very similarly to Psalm 96. It says, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." And in most of these psalms, there is a near fulfillment of what God has done for the house of Israel, for the nation of Israel. They can remember the promises made to Abraham, the covenant to Abraham. They can remember the promises, the covenants, the law that was given, and praise Him for all of the victories that God did through the nation, bringing them into the land that He has for Him, His faithfulness to Israel. But not only that, it says the whole earth is to remember the Lord God and His right hand and His holy arm. By God's strength, by God's power, He has accomplished what He has intended for Israel, His people. He has accomplished what He has intended for all those who believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. Psalm 98, verse 2 says, He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. There's no question that there is a future prophetic understanding that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God that appeared on the earth, and it is through Jesus Christ that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. This message is repeated in Isaiah 52:10. It says, The Lord has bared His holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. We know that Israel as a nation was to be looking forward to that Redeemer King that was to come, the Messiah, the one that was going to save His people from their sins. And that is true. But it was not just for Israel. Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, to be able to display God's wonderfulness, His mercy, His grace to the nation, to all of the nations around them, and instead they covered that with a bushel. Israel very much, instead of looking to the glory of God and being joyful in what God has done, began looking at themselves as a special people because they had the law and the covenants and the promises of God. It took their eyes off of the God who gave it to them and looked at what they had. They were to be a light to the nations, and all of the nations were to be blessed through them. God made that promise to Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. The salvation of the Lord is from His right arm and His holy arm. It shows that it is of Him. Salvation comes from the Lord, and it comes through Jesus Christ, His Son. It's brought about by His strength and His power. And it is Jesus Christ who will reign one day on this earth, fulfilling all of the promises that God has made prophetically. It would be David's descendant, the promised Redeemer, King, and Messiah, and Lord, who will bring salvation to all the peoples of the world. It says that, I was struck that it said, by God's right hand and by His power. When Jesus, after He was crucified and was ascending into heaven, He made declarations to the disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 19. It says, So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, that is the disciples, He was received into heaven, and He sat down at the right hand of God. And we know He is there awaiting that time when the nations will be made a footstool to His feet. He'll be coming back in judgment, and judgment in righteousness, and He will establish the kingdom forever. Hebrews 1 through 3 and 13 says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways, and through the Psalms is one of those portions and ways, in these last days, though, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And Christ is the heir apparent, the righteous King of this world, because He is God incarnate. But He also was an actor and a partaker in the creation of this world. We know in Genesis it said, in the beginning, God created. It says in the beginning that the Spirit moved over the face of the waters of creation. And in John 1:1, we know that Jesus Christ is the Word. And in Him and through Him, all things were created. He's the heir of all things because He was also the creator of all things. He maintains all things. Hebrews 1:3 says, "And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." And verse 13 says, "But to which of the angels has He, God the Father, ever said, 'Sit at my right hand'?" No one else. Only Christ, His Son. And He says, "Sit at my right hand until I make make your enemies a footstool to your feet." Hebrews chapter 10, 11 through 13 says, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But He, that is Christ, has offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, and He sat down at the right hand of God the Father, waiting from that time onward until His enemies be made a footstool for His feet." These are the kinds of things that are understood to be true from reading of Psalm 98, verses 1 to 3. It's a psalm to the nation of Israel. It's a psalm to the nations of God, of the world. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 6 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord." Shout joyfully to the Lord. Be happy, be glad in what God has done. But not only that, be glad and understand that God's not finished. He's got a place for us. Even Jesus Christ is there, even preparing places for us. He told us so in His Word. It's an accomplishment for us. We don't have to figure out how to make it happen. We don't have to work with our hands to get it done. We don't have to rely on our own works to help build up a reason for us to be there. Jesus Christ, God the Father, have accomplished all of these things by their power. Shout joyfully. I have to admit, sometimes I come to services here and we sing songs, and I sometimes am just uplifted and encouraged by the singing of God's Word put to music, and it encourages my very heart and soul. And then there are some times where I am not. We should be singing joyfully. We should be singing and shouting joyfully. It says, "Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises." The break forth there, the connotation is you can't help yourself. This is great news. This is wonderful things that God has been doing. I can't help but sing for praise, for joy. I can't help but sing thankfully to God. I can't help but be happy in the midst of God's people who all share the same excitement and understanding of God's mercy and His grace and His kindness. You ought to just break out in a song fest sometimes. That's, you know, Roger, I'll leave it to you to do that. All right. Yeah, pick a song. Pick a song. I have a couple of songs, but break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. 98 verse 5, "Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the king." I'm reminded of when King David built the tabernacle in Jerusalem. He was so excited. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem so that the people had a place to come to worship God. Was God there in that ark? No. But it was a place that David established because he had such a joy in believing that that God, his creator and maker, was his redeemer as well, and wanted a place to worship God. You know, if we are thankful if we are thankful for what God has done for us, primarily, above all else, salvation, then that should extend itself into a natural desire to worship. And this psalm tells us that one of the ways you worship is to sing and to shout joyfully God's praises. And that's with musical instruments that we don't use much anymore, the lyre and the horn. And there is a place for that because it encourages our heart. Throughout the Word of God and in the New Testament, we are encouraged as believers, admonished almost to sing to God in joy and thankfulness, to have that desire to worship God for what He has done. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." If we're people of God, we are sealed with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And he says, we're to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. You know, there's a reason we sing, and it's not just to express our musical talent. Pardon me, I don't have very much of that, but I can sing joyfully. I can shout joyfully, and some people in front of me may think, yep, that's about the best you do, Tom, is shout joyfully. I'm a lot better than that. Well, possibly so. But we're to do that because we're supposed to be always giving thanks to the name of Jesus Christ to God the Father for what He's done. Our salvation is something that we need to be joyfully considering every day. And we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not just one type of music to be sung. It can be expressed through multiple types, either the psalms that are here, the hymns that are written, spiritual songs. There's contemporary music today that is very worshipful because it expresses a desire to be thankful to God for what God has done. Colossians 3:15 through 17 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, the church, and be thankful." Be thankful appears a lot when we talk about singing and praising God and being worshipful to Him. You were called in one body and be thankful. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." So we are to sing, we're to speak to one another in spiritual songs and hymns, and we are to teach and admonish one another. That's a spiritual songs, hymns, and psalms carry the Word of God within them. And it's the Word of God that will be an admonishment. It'll be an encouragement. It'll be a joyful thing to consider. How can you not be uplifted and encouraged by singing to God with thankfulness for what He has done? "Let the sea roar and all it contains, and the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." And there's an understanding here at the end. Number nine, with equity, the Lord does not make a distinction between peoples when it comes to salvation. The Lord saves people of all nations, tribes, kindred, and tongues. And it is all of these that will give glory to Him joyfully. Galatians 3:26 through 29 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That's what brings us together as a family. We are the family of God, joint heirs with Christ to what God has given us through His salvation in Christ. "For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ." We're a family. I had a post on social media recently, and I said, this is why my church is so vital to me. It's not where I go to meet people. It's where I go to be with family. I have a natural family. And I've never felt as close to them as I feel being in the midst of God's people. This congregation particularly. But any church of God where people worship and glorify Him for what He has done. We're to shout thankfully. You know what? If we aren't going to be singing and shouting joyfully to God, the earth is, the sea is, the creatures in it are, because they're going to rise up and be thankful to God. I know in Revelation at the end, God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And I'm thinking that's when you're going to see all of creation, even though it's groaning now, all of what God has created in a new heavens and a new earth are going to be praising and glorifying His name joyfully. David knew what it meant to come and to worship God in the midst of His people. In Psalm 122, it's a song of ascents of David. David is the psalmist, under inspiration, said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" It's a reminder. If we're not in a congregation somewhere, we're missing out. I'm glad to be able to come into the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be able to come here and to worship and glorify His name, to praise His name, to sing praises to Him. I love to be in the midst of God's family. David knew that. Jim uses the term sometimes, we have a little bit of heaven right here. Did I say that right? Right here? Okay. Little bit of heaven on earth. We are able to gather together as heirs, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship, to be thankful and joyfully sing of the kindness and grace of God because of Christ's work, to be in the midst of God's people, encouraging one another in the faith, building each other up, admonishing sometimes, yes. We need to be joyful. You know, they're singing a new song. There is described a new song to sing in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5. And it is because it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to start in verse 7. I'm going to start in verse 6. And it said, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came, and he took it out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp, a golden bowl, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy art thou to break the book, to take the book, and to break its seals, for thou wast slain, and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and kindred and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Boy, what a joy that is to consider. Be able to sing that song before Jesus Christ. And I looked and I heard the voices of, we're going to have company. In heaven, we're going to have company. Pam's going to be there. I think she's already singing. Maybe not this song yet, but she's singing. Because she's in the very presence of the Father and the Son, who she exalted so much here on earth. Verse 11, Revelation 5, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created being which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them. That pretty much sums it all up. There's nothing left that is not going to be singing praise to the Lamb of God. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. So be it. So be it. So be it. In this our little church, we have the opportunity on earth now looking forward to what we're going to be singing in heaven, and we need to be singing thankfully and joyfully here, because Jesus Christ is worthy, and he has brought salvation to the nation of Israel. He's brought salvation to all the nations of the earth, and he's going to come and he's going to reign, but he's going to come in judgment as well. Must have missed that part in my notes. There's a promise that Jesus Christ is coming for his own, that there's salvation wrought in him for those who believe in him, who have been redeemed by his blood. But there's a promise of judgment as well. It also is without distinction. People from every tribe and kindred and tongue will stand before him in judgment as well. If they know him not, they're going to hear the words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. And we have opportunity in our church here, not only by the prayers we offer, not only by the fellowships we have, not only by the sermons that are preached, but by the songs that we sing to encourage and admonish others who come. If they're non-believers, that they may hear and understand by even the music that we sing that we are a joyful people with thankfulness for God's work in our lives and what he is doing on this earth. For those who are believers, that they see a people here who are joyous and thankful for what God has wrought in their hearts. Let's see if I can find out where I am. I know one of the things that I remember about the services for Pam was that her favorite hymn was Great Is Thy Faithfulness, or it was one of her favorite. Must have been one of her favorite. She put it in her bulletin, so I'm just saying. We may have to sing that after this. I'm a little bit early in finishing here. But Great Is Thy Faithfulness is obviously a song to me that captures the thoughts of Psalm 98, verse 1. Because God is faithful, it is by his power and his right hand and his arm, because he has the ability to do all things, that he is going to work salvation out in this world. He has done it through Jesus Christ dying on a cross. He does it because he draws people to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God incarnate, and he accepts people. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And we have the opportunity to sing the songs that we sing with joy and thankfulness for what they tell us about God's great gift. I have another part to this I could add. I read a couple of articles this last couple of weeks, and we've even discussed this as the church leadership, of the dwindling attendance in church. What causes it? One of the articles I read says because it's due to apathy. People don't care. I mean, people will get up early in the morning to run down to a ticket counter to get tickets for a sports event that is months away. They'll sacrifice their time and energy to be able to do that, standing in line for hours. But they won't come to church. He says it's apathy. And on the part of non-believers, that's not unusual. You shouldn't be surprised by that. But for believers, is that what we should be expecting? The author of that article says it's apathy of believers. I read Psalm 98. I read Psalm 96. I read Psalm 92. I read Revelations 5. I read about the songs that are being sung by the people of God, where they are, at whatever time they are. I read of the admonitions to sing, for God's people to sing, and sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs joyfully and thankfully. I see all these things and I don't understand. So I can only believe that there are those who claim Christ, but somehow they're missing the joy. And I think for each one of us, we need to determine whether or not we claim Christ or we have Christ. Psalm 98. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Sing praises to His name. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. I pray that as we come together and worship in the worship hour, that when the congregation has opportunity to sing, we sing joyfully, and we sing thankfully, and we sing praising God for what He has done. It's not of ourselves. Salvation is His. I'm going to pray and end us at this time. If you have questions, we have a few minutes left for that. Father, we do thank You that Your Word tells us and shows us that You have accomplished salvation not only for the house of Israel, but also for all the ends of the earth. And we are to praise and glorify Your name in song. We are to, Father, do so joyfully and thankfully. We're to do it loudly, Father. We're to do it with instruments. We thank You, Father, for the salvation You have wrought, that allows us, Father, one day to stand before You. And in that day we'll be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, He who knew no sin, He who was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, for all of the blessings You continually shower upon us. And Father, that we may be a thankful people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any thoughts, comments?